Re-recording.
Good morning. Today's daf is daf Samechein of Avodah Zarah. We're just a short 10 daf before we finish the Masechta, 11 daf. The Gemara is Hemshech of what we discussed yesterday. We're going to start. We're starting at the towards the top of the Amud. An assemblage of rabbis got together and they asked some fundamental questions regarding Avodah Zarah. Goy sells Avodah Zarah. Could the proceeds of that sale, does that have the status of Avodah Zarah? We know we do. When we sell Avodah Zarah, it obtains the status of the Avodah Zarah. Vayisechem kamohu. That was the pasuk I was trying to think of yesterday. So when a guy sells Avodah Zarah, does it obtain the status of Avodah Zarah? That was a question they asked, and they did not have an answer to that question. They asked another question, and this is where we're going to continue in the Gemara, where at the top of the Amud, in Samach Dal Amud Beis, second line down, how do Yosef become Ibailahu? These assemblage of rabbis got together, and they asked another fundamental question. Ger Toshav, Mahu Shivata Avodas Kochavim. What about a Ger Toshav? Ger Toshav, right, there are, first of all, there's a Ger Tzedek. Ger Tzedek is somebody who converts fully to Judaism, accepts upon himself 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, gets a tefillah, gets a milah, gets a tefillah, and is a Jew, a full-fledged Jew. And then there's something called the Ger Toshav. Ger Toshav is somebody who is not accepting upon himself 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. Clearly we know he eats nevela, because the Torah says that if in fact you have a nevela, so la ger tazov, you can give it to the ger, right? Give it to the ger toshav, he'll eat nevela. And so that's okay. That we know for sure he does not do. He doesn't eat kosher. But other than that, though, what exactly is the status of a ger toshav? So that's a basic question, right? In other words, before we start with the Gemara's question, the basic question is, what is a ger toshav? What status must you accept upon yourself in order to be Ger Toshav? The Gemara here wants to know, has like a further question. And that is the following. Let's say you are a Ger Toshav. In the minimum, everybody agrees, the common denominator between every opinion is that you're not an idolater. You're not an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So now that that's the case, the question on the table is like this. Can you be Mevato Avodah Zarah? So again, let's talk with our two knowns. Well, let's talk about with our two knowns. Our two knowns is that a Jew cannot be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. That's been our assumption and by fundamental assumption from the beginning of the year. A Jew cannot be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. An idolater can be Mevatel Avodah Zarah, meaning he can go to Avodah Zarah and deface it, maim it, dent it, right? And he could repudiate it, and it is no longer Avodah Zarah. So that's our two knowns. And it doesn't even have to be his own Avodah Zarah. Correct, absolutely correct.
You can
be Mevatel an Avodah Zarah that's not yours. Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't usher something, you can't usher something that's not yours, but to be Mevatel, that you can do. You can be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. So our two knowns are the following. A Jew cannot be Mevatel Avodah Zarah, and a non-Jew can be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. Okay, so now we have this middle guy. This guy who is not, in other words, a Ger Tzedek, he's a Jew. For all intents and purposes, for all halacha, a Ger is a Ger. He's a convert, he's a Jew. But in terms of this Ger Toshav, he's somewhere between Jew and non-Jew. So the question on the table is, can he be Mevatel Avodah Zarah? Now, I have not yet described what exactly the Ger Toshav is, because the Gemara is going to bring down the three-way machlokus in terms of what exactly a Ger Toshav is, but it doesn't matter. Here's what we know. He's somewhere between Jew and non-Jew. Can he be Mevatel Avodah Zarah? And the Gemara spells out the question. De palach mevato, de lo palach lo mevato. Do you need someone who in principle worships Avodah Zarah? This guy, in principle, does not worship Avodah Zarah. That's the whole definition of him being a Ger Toshav. According to everybody, across the board, everyone agrees he's not Ovid Avodah Zarah. So because of his not being Ovid Avodah Zarah, principally, so maybe he doesn't have the right to be Ovid Avodah Zarah, to be Mevato Avodah Zarah. Odilma, kol debar mine mevatil, v'hai bar minehu. Or the Gemara's other side of the question, he's a bar hachi. He's not Jewish. And the only criteria in order to be Mevatel Avodah Zarah is that you don't have to be Jewish, and he's not Jewish. So maybe he could be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. This is the question on the table, and the Gemara gives an answer. Amar Rav Nachman, Sabbat Palach Mevatel, the Lo Palach Lo Mevatel. So Rav Nachman says, look, if you're asking me, and in my logic and my reasoning, I'd say he cannot be Mevatel, because in order to be Mevatel, you have to be an Oved. You have to be someone who worships Avodah Zarah. I don't exactly know the svara. I don't exactly know how to articulate the svara. If you're an ovate, so that means you know how to be mevatel avodah zarah. I mean, we already know how to. You deface it. You break it. But in other words, he knows it. He's familiar with it. So that individual is mevatel avodah zarah. But the ger toshav, he's in the world of avodah zarah. He's like one of us. We can't be mevatel avodah zarah. He can't be mevatel avodah zarah as well. Gemara now challenges Meisvei. Yisrael shematz avodas kochavim b'shuk hashal abas liyado omer laovei kochavim umevatla umishabat liyado eino omer laovei kochavim umevatla mimnei sha'amer ovei kochavim umevatla avodas kochavim shalo v'shal chavero bein ovda uvein shalo ovda. Brisa gives us some basic rules about an avodah zarah. If you have an avodah zarah that you find in the marketplace, as long as you didn't pick it up yet, the Brisa tells us, you just simply go over to a guy and you say to the guy, can you be mevatel? Because we know the halacha is a guy can be mevatel. Look at the last words of the Braisa, because they are the key words to this question, to this raya. It's actually a question. The Braisa says, bein ovda, bein she'ein ovda. And when you get a guy to come be mevatel, it doesn't matter whether he's an ovade or whether he's not an ovade. My ovda, ma she'ein ovda. What does that mean? What do you mean? You mean whether it belongs to him or whether it doesn't belong to him? The brisa already established. It doesn't have to belong to him in order for him to be mevatel. That's already clear in the brisa. So we have this new expression in the brisa of bein ovda, bein shelo ovda. What does that mean? Ela lav ovda, ove kochavim. Lav ovda means it's a state of being. He's not Ovid of Avodah Zarah, which is Umay Sheino Ovda Ger Toshav. So it must be talking about a Ger Toshav. Shema Minah Ger Toshav Nami Mevatel. So the simple reading in the Braisa, especially the last phrase of the Braisa, Bein Ovda Bein Shelo Ovda, must be teaching us that this Ger Toshav is Mevatel Avodah Zarah, which is contrary to what Rav Nachman concluded. Rav Nachman concluded Ger Toshav cannot be mevatel avodah zarah.
Because I missed last yesterday. How do you mevatel avodah zarah? What do you do?
You break it.
Oh, you break it.
Yeah.
So how can you break something that doesn't belong to you?
It's avodah zarah. You destroy it. So lo, the Gemara says lo. La'olam eim lechai devide ovei kochavim. So the Gemara says they're both talking about an ovdei avodah zarah. So the kamar hanish lo v'shal chavero. So the Gemara says, Reisha zevizela por vizevizela markulis, sevizela por vizela markulis. So the Gemara gives, look, it's simple pshat in the Braisa. It goes like this. In the first case of the Braisa, we're all the same type of idolaters. We're all after our peor. We're all after our markulis. And the point is like this. You have a markulis idol, right? You're two stones, one, and then one on top of the two stones, your markulis deity. And even though it's not mine, I can be mevatala. But the second part of the Braisa goes like this. It's so funny. The second part of the Braisa says, look, Markulis, that's so stupid. Right? Stones? Who's going to worship? I don't worship stones. That's ridiculous. And then you go back to your house, and what do? You drop your pants, and you defecate in front of your Baal Peor. Oh, that's a avodah zarah. Right? So, but meanwhile, Markulis, you don't know from anything from Markulis. You think it's the stupidest thing in the world. The second part of the Braisa is, Bein Shelo Ovda. Even though you're not a believer in that particular avodah zarah, you got your own avodah zarah, you got your own issues, but you don't believe in that avodah zarah, you could still be mevatel that avodah zarah. Okay, that's the second part of the brisa, and that's what we'll say pshat in the brisa is, and beautiful, and therefore we don't have to come on to a question against Rav Nachman. Meisvei, another question, another brisa.
The assumption is that Rav Nachman would agree to this.
He would have to agree to this. Right, he would have to agree to this pshat. Eizu ger toshav kol shekiba alav b'fnei gimel chaverim shelo la'avod avodas kochavim divra meir. I told you, what's a ger toshav? So I said it's a machlokis, so here it is. The Braisa tells us in no uncertain terms, it's a three-way machlokis in terms of what exactly is a ger toshav. So first we start with the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Meir says he accepts upon himself not to be ovid avodah zarah. Now, can we stop for just a moment, Rav Meir? And just think about this for a moment, because it's really strange. Meaning, we know that there are seven Noachid laws, right? One of the seven Noachid laws is not to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. So the Ger Toshav is kind of strange, by the way, because it comes out that he's less than a Noachid. Meaning, every single person on this planet, in principle, systematically, needs to accept upon himself seven Mishavah Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And over here, this guy comes into Eretz Yisrael and says, look, I promise, I won't be avodah zara. Okay, good. What about gzeila? What about, right? It's a little bit strange that this is it. This is all, this is baseline. And if I may add to this question, Tosfos also points out, you know what the punishment is for a Noachide who doesn't observe the seven Noachide laws, Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach, he's put to death. Mm-hmm. Right? It's Misa. Right? We learned that in Sanhedrin. Mm-hmm. So it's just going to be a little bit strange. Meaning, look, I'm not going to be over to Avodah Zarah. Okay, but on the other ones that you are not accepting upon yourself, you know, that's a death penalty. Like, it's just strange. So Tosfos says over here, right, the Im Tamar, it is the, where is this Tosfos? It's the third Tosfos down on the page. Skip the first line of the Tosfos. V'im Tamar v'alom yasha avar sheva mitzvos chayiv misa da'azaros b'nei noach hi misa sam b'lo einav asra. So Tosfos says, I don't understand what the other six which have a liability of the death penalty. Yeishlamer d'chol zman shelo danuhu beizdin eino chayiv misa. Now so Tosfos says, look, you know, live and let live, meaning they're not going to be tried, right? As long as they're not tried, you're not going to put them to death, right? And so it could be that, look, gzela and blasphemy and Arius and all the other of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, he's going to abide by, he's not going to abide by. The point over here is like this, is that in order to be a resident of Israel, you have to take it upon yourself. You have to publicly take upon yourself in front of three people that you're not going to be over to Avodah Zarah, then you're a Ger Toshav, then you can be a legal alien, right? With no political undertones involved. You could be a legal alien of the land of Israel. Chachamim Omrim, now we get into opinion number two. Kol Shekibo Alav Sheva Mitzvah, Shekibo Alehem B'nei Noach. Okay, good. Chachamim is a little bit more palatable. And he's of the opinion that you have to accept upon yourself Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, meaning everybody needs Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, but if you want to become a legal alien of Israel, you need to take on all Sheva Mitzvahs in front of three people. And finally, the third opinion, Achirim Omrim, Elu Lo Ba'u Lechlau Ger Toshav, Eila Ezehu Ger Toshav, Ze Ger Ochel Nevelos, Shekibo alav lekayim kol mitzvos ha'amuros betorah chutz mi'iser nevelos. Yeah. The opinion of the Acherim is that, look, Ger Toshav, you got to be more. You got to be more than just a regular Ben Noach. Right? All the people outside of the land of Israel, they're all B'nai Noach. You want to live in Israel? You got to be more than that. So you got to take upon yourself all the mitzvos in the Torah, except for nevelos, meaning you still want your Burger King, you still want your McDonald's, you can have it. But outside of that, you take on all the mitzvahs of Torah. You understand why it says nevela? Because the pasuk says. Stuart, right? Because the pasuk says that if you have a nevela, so you give it to the ger. So clearly, it's so funny. We know the extremities. The extremities are so clear to us. Meaning, we know that as a ger toshav, you can't be over to Avodah Zarah. That's clear. We also know as a ger toshav that you have to eat treif. That's also clear. It's all the stuff in the middle that, you know, is where the machlokus lies. So a mayor just takes the minimal approach, and the acherim takes the maximum approach, and then there's the chachamim, which is the shvil hazahav, the golden path.
Like Shabbat goy, we need them.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Goy, you know, like to,
right.
To be able to give to them.
So, l'kayim kol mitzvos amurus b'tor chutz meis nevelos. Okay, good. So now, fine. So whatever it takes to be ger toshav, three-way machlokas. Now that you're ger toshav, the brisa continues. Miachzen et flo yayin. So you want to leave wine by him for a little bit of time? You can. And Rashi writes, Miachtem lo et flo yayin. Yisrael minich bechanuso achi elech kedei mil. Oh, yoser. Look, you go over to the ger toshav and you say to ger toshav, look, I got wine. I need to drop it in your store. Watch it for me. I'm going to be out for 18 minutes, 20 minutes. I'll be back. Ma she'inkin, I'm reading in Rashi. Ma she'inkin bo v'kocham da'hai kemen da'lo palach lo naga v'lo manasech. Ulamaga v'kocham da'asem me'ama v'veitzo lo chayshinan. Dikemen da'in lo hanabakach eno manicho le'gal. Ulachlu v'vizman lu'at le'kel me'chash. Rashi says, look, there's no concern. You're going to go out for 20 minutes. First of all, he's not going to touch it. He's a ger toshav. Right? And not only that, he's not over to Avodah Zarah. So for him, the nisuch isn't even an issue. And what about a goy coming in to the store and having the goy touch it? He's not going to let the goy touch it because it's just he doesn't speak that language. Okay, so Rashi says that there's no concern. Tosfos has a whole discussion about this Rashi over here. That's the big Tosfos on this page. But anyway, but just to keep things short and sweet, Rashi says there's no concern. So to leave it by him for a short amount of time, that's fine. But the Braisa continues. Back to the Gemara. I feel be Yerusha Ruba Yisrael, not yet. I'm sorry. The Ein Mafkidin Etzlo Yayin Vafilo be Yerusha Ruba Yisrael. But you can't be Mafkid. Meaning to leave it to him by a long period of time, that's not acceptable. Something's going to happen to it. A guy's going to come into a store. A guy's going to touch it. Maybe he'll switch it with other wines. That you can't do. Ve'afilu be'ir sheru be'yisrael v'amiyach v'netzlo yayin ve'afilu be'ir sheru be'yichuchavim. Okay, fine. And it doesn't matter. In other words, this idea of leaving in a store for a short amount of time versus leaving in a store for a long period of time, it doesn't matter the population of the city. For a short period of time, he'll safeguard it. For a long period of time, you can't do it. Shmeino kiyeno. His oil is like his wine. The Gemara scratches its head. Shmeino kiyeno. What does that mean? Sakadacha shemen mika hava yai nesach. What does that mean? That his oil is like his wine. His wine isn't yai nesach. Right? There's no yai nesach discussion in the Ger Toshav. There may be a chasnus issue by the Ger Toshav, but there's no yai nesach discussion. Ela yeno kishmeina. Oh, so the Gemara says, okay, let's go the other way. His yain is going to be like his shemen, which means you can't drink it, but you can get benefit from it. That's fine, right? Because of the chasnus issue. Well, Ushar called
about the miachtim case now.
No, in general, the yain is going to be like shemen. So.
But
Jesus
is not like Shemin. It's not always
one. Huh? I understand that, but in other words, just in terms of a comparison, his wine is never Yai Nesach. It's never Asur Bahana. That's a simple point of the Braisa, because he's a Ger Toshav. He's not an idolater. Ulshar kol davar hariu ko ove kochavim. And then the Braisa ends off, and this is the whole reason why we brought this Braisa in. Braisa gave us a tremendous amount of information, three-way machlokas in terms of what a Ger Toshav is, a question of depositing wine by him, an issue of what is the status of his wine, and then the Braisa ends off with Ushar kol davar hareu kovik kochavim, he's a guy. Okay, what does that mean? Good. Rabbi Shimon Omer Yeno Yainesach Ramila Mutter B'Shti. And then finally we have one last point on the Braisa, where Rabbi Shimon makes a statement and we're not sure what he says. One version has it that their wine is Yainesach, or the other version is that his wine is Mutter B'Shti. Okay, now that's right in terms of getting it not right, we don't know what Rabbi Shimon says. The range is unbelievable. Isser Hanah to Mutter B'Shti, but again, that's important, but not the point why we brought this Braisa in. The whole point why we brought the Braisa in is because what do we call a Ger Toshav? He's an Ovi Kochav. He's a non-Jew. Status-wise, he's a non-Jew. Now, Ketanei Mil, Shar Kol Dvar, V'Harei Kol V'Kochav. Now remember, Rav Nachman started off the whole discussion by saying that when it comes to a Ger Toshav, he can't be Mevata Avodah Zarah. Because he's not a guy. Because he's not an idol worshiper. Meanwhile, when you read the Braisa sounds like he's a guy. And it sounds like from the Braisa, now the Braisa doesn't say this, but it sounds like from the Braisa that he could be Mavata Avodah Zarah, just like a goy could. All right. Lamai Hilchas Alava, Mavata Avodah Kochavim, Kaovi Kochavim. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, so along comes Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, says no. When it says he's a guy, we're not talking about in the world of Avodah Zarah, we're talking about another halacha that is differentiates between a Jew and a non-Jew, and that's the halacha of Erev Chatzeros. Lo liten rishos u levata rishos. Ukid de tanya, as we learned in the Braisa. Now before we start, let me just give a quick introduction over here. Right, this is like Erevin 101. This is like basics of Erevin. In order to be able to carry within a rishos hayachid that's owned by multiple people, so they have to unify. Right? Minatara, they don't have to. You're in a rishos hayachid, even though the rishos hayachid is owned by many different people, but it doesn't matter. Gzera de Rabbanan, it was instituted by Shlomo HaMelech, going way back, that the Rishus HaYachid has to unify into one common area. It's like, to give a bad analogy, second day in a row that I'm giving a bad analogy, it's like our associations, our homeowners associations, where the common property is just that, it's common property, right? No one single person owns it, it's unified. Okay, beautiful. Okay, and that's what needs to be done in a chatzar, in a courtyard where the common area has to be unified. How do we unify? It's very simple. Everybody contributes a little bit of food, puts it into a basket, takes the basket, puts it into somebody's house, and now all the common property is unified. I can carry from my house into the courtyard, from my courtyard into somebody else's house. Beautiful. Again, nowadays what we do is that we create, first of all, the entire area we make into a chatzar. That's the poles and wires. That just all that only does is makes this whole area into Rishus HaYachid. Then the next thing, the next step is to unify, where everyone contributes. You don't remember this year, they knocked on your door and they asked you to supply a loaf of bread. They did, you just don't know about it. You did contribute, just contributed through through the rabbi of the community who did that. Okay. Non-Jews who live in the chatzer, they don't do that.
They can't
do that. But rather, that we learned in Masechta Erevin, you have to be socher, you have to rent out their part of the common property. Okay, and that's the only way it works with a non-Jew, right? They can't contribute, but you must be socher. Okay, one more point. Just 1 second. One more point regarding this introduction, and that is, what if you forget? What if you go into Shabbos and you forgot to give your loaf of bread? Now again, none of us are going to forget because it's done on our behalf. Good, so we don't have to worry about forgetting. But what if you forgot? So there's another idea, which is that you could be mevatel your rishus. You could just simply say to all the interested parties, look, I know I have a part of the common property, and I know I didn't contribute, so I am delinquent in unifying. Okay, so I'm about to my rishus. So I give up my portion. Again, a goy can't do that as well. Cannot do that. So he can't, he doesn't participate with the gifting of the food. He doesn't participate with mevat rishus. The only means that a goy can unify is only by renting out his property. Okay, the why behind this, not for now. Okay, but that's the basic halacha. So now when the Braisa says, how do we view Ger Toshav? We view him like a non-Jew. We mean in the world of Erevin. In Erev Chatzeros, that's all we mean. Ukid Tanya, in fact, we learned this in the Braisa. You saw Momar Mishamer, Shabasa Bishuk, Mevata Rishos. You saw Momar, the Braisa, interesting Braisa. It talks about an apostate, a Jew who doesn't behave like a Jew. So, if he's not Shomer Shabbos, but he's private about it, and he's got his issues, but he's not public about it. So the Braisa says, Shabbat Subashuk, Mevat Rishus. So he can do Erevin the way the rest of us do Erevin, by being Mevat Rishus. She'im Mishamer Shabbat Subashuk. However, if he's public about his Shabbos lack of observance, and he's defiant about it, Ein Mevat Rishus. So no longer has the ability to be Mevat Rishus, meaning that in the world of Erev Chatzeros, we do not treat him like a Jew, but rather, if we live in the same chatzar as him, we have to be socher, we have to rent out his property. Mimnesha Amru, because they said, Yisrael Nosim Rishos Mevat Rishos, Oveve Kochavim Ad Sheyizkor. And in the world of halacha, he's not a Jew. He's still a Jew, but as far as halacha is concerned, we will treat him like a non-Jew. So Kate said, Amru lo Rishusi Kinu Yalach Rishusi Mevutel Alach Kanei. The ends are Tzarech Lezakras, and then the Braisa ends off with a formula for how do you do it, Rishusi Kenuya Lach, and right, this is going about how the Jew gives up his property. Okay, fine, period. But the whole point over here is that when we say the Ger Toshav is like a non-Jew, we mean vis-a-vis Erev Chatzeros. That's all we mean. Okay, good. All right, and that ends that discussion, and we are done. We are done with the question of can a ger toshav be mevatel avodah zarah? Rav Nachman's answer is no. We quoted two brises this morning that seemingly contradicts Rav Nachman's ruling. The brisa of a goy being mevatel, even though he doesn't believe in avodah zarah, we translate that brisa to mean he doesn't believe in this avodah zarah; he believes in other avodah zarahs. And the second brisa describing what a ger toshav is, and the brisa saying that a ger toshav is like a non-Jew, and what we're saying now is that means vis-a-vis the halachas of Erev Chatzeros. Period.
That's
the bottom line. You know any ger toshavs?
No, again, then again, forget. The ger toshav, you said, you can have his own avodah zarah.
Ger Toshav is it gives up Avodah Zarah. That everyone agrees.
He has to give up Avodah Zarah.
Absolutely.
Can somebody be a Ger Toshav outside Eretz Yisrael?
Sure. Ger Toshav, however, has benefits. In other words, being a legal alien in Israel has its benefits because you're supported. Rav Yehuda Shardalei Korbana Av Dirna Biyom Idam. Rav Yehuda sent a gift to Avdirna. Avdirna is the name of a non-Jew. Mm-hmm. And he sent it to him Biyom Idam, even on his pagan holiday. Wow. Wow, that takes us all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta.
Yeah. No,
that was a long time ago. That was two months ago. Okay, it's been a while we've been in Avodah Zarah.
It's a gift now.
Okay, so he gives a gift to a non-Jew Biyom Idam. Amar Yadana Bei Delo Palach Lavodah Zkochavim. And he's melamed zchus upon himself, and he says, "Look, I know he's not from. He's not that religious." Amalei Rav Yosef Atanya Izu Ger Toshav Kol Shekibo Alav Bifnigim Chaver Shol Alav Avodas Kochavim. So the Gemara says, "Wait a second. How do you know? Did he make a public declaration? Because didn't we just learn that in order to be a Ger Toshav, you have to make a public declaration in front of three people that I'm not accepting upon myself Avodah Zarah?" And you're so sure, but he didn't make a public declaration. So he answers, this is now Rav Yehuda, Kitanya hi lacha yoso. No, that's only to get the privileges of being a Ger Toshav. As I just mentioned, when you're a Ger Toshav, there's this mitzvah of that you get supported. You do get some sort of public service and public aid as being a Ger Toshav. So you want to be that Ger Toshav in Eretz Yisrael, so who gets that kind of aid, so then you need a public declaration. But if I know that he's not an Oved Avodah Zarah, so it's fine. I can give him a gift on his Yom Yidam. So we have another statement, the Ger Toshav, 12 months go by and he doesn't get a Mila. So he's a Min, he's like a heretic. So Hasam Kigon Shekibalam. The Gemara says again, just because he didn't get a Mila, that by definition doesn't mean he's a bad guy. It means that he told us, I'm getting a Mila, and then 12 months go by and he doesn't get a Mila, he's a fraud. Then you could say he's a fraud, but Stam, just with no commitment to getting a Mila, he's okay.
He was a Ger Toshav.
He was a Ger Toshav. Yeah.
What do you mean, Ben? He was thinking of becoming a Ger Tzedek.
But is he a Ger Toshav here? Right? Is he a Ger Toshav here?
I mean, it says the Brisa says Ger Toshav. And so whatever.
What is he getting a Bris Mila for? It must be because he was becoming.
I don't know. And what also, just share with you more of what I don't know, meaning in the three opinions that we just saw, who said that the Ger Toshav needs a Mila? Presumably,
he says
Ger Toshav.
So he's in the stage of a Ger Toshav, maybe in the stage of conversion.
That's right.
Now here it says because he reneged on his pledge. And obviously, he reneged also on the pledge of not.
I understand, but it says Ger Toshav. I assume we're talking about Ger Toshav. It doesn't seem. Let's go back. Rav Meir certainly doesn't require him to make a Mila. For sure, and the Chachamim Shevah Mitzvos B'nei Noach. So right. Maybe Acherim require a Mila. Maybe. And I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you said that I don't know. They want everything to be done except one thing.
Yeah, I'm saying it does seem that way. And but then that presupposes that we're following the opinion of the Acherim. The Gemara never established that. Okay, I'm not sure. Okay. Okay, Rava amat le korban la bar shishach. Rava gave a gift to bar shishach b'yom idam. Amar yadana be de lo palach avodas kochavim. Again, Rava says, I know my friend Bar Shishach. He's not a Jew, but he's not an idolater. It's fine. Pagan festival, I'll give him a gift. It's fine. Okay. Azal ashkeche diyasev atzavrei bevarda. The kaimen zonos arumas kamei. Now, Bar Shishach, although he wasn't an idolater, but he enjoyed the good things in life. he liked the world and liked worldly pleasures. He was in a bath in roses, rose water, however you want to explain it. Or the Kaimins almost arumas kame, and he had naked prostitutes in front of him, and this is how he spent his, I guess you would say, Sunday. Now Bar Shishach says to Rava, you know, this is good, this is a good life. Do you think your life is going to be this good in Olam Haba? Amalei dana difa tfei mehai. So Rava says that back to Barshisha. Are you kidding me? It's going to be better. It's going to be much better for us. Amalei tfei mehai mehave. So Barshisha says it can't get better than this. Why do you mind? Amalei ason ika aleichu emasu demachusa. He says, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. Because right now you may be in a bath with rose petals and you may have your prostitutes, but you're wrong. Because you still have a king to answer to. Anan lo tehavan alan emasa demachusa. In our olam haba, we don't have that. We don't speak that language of emasa demachusa. And just to make sure that we don't, that we fully understand Rava's point, amale ana mi amai emasa demachusa ikalai. So Rav Barshishach on cue says, what are you talking about? I don't have emasa demachusa. I don't have this fear of the king upon me. I don't even know what you're talking about. Adi yasve asa ahu parsika demalka. And then, on cue, comes in a messenger of the king and points to Barshishach, Amalei kum dekabaylach malka. King would like to talk to you for a couple of minutes. You need to get up. You need to go to the king. Okay. And obviously Barshishach got the point, right, that Rav is right. Meaning, I may be able to enjoy some of the pleasures in this world, but it's not uninterrupted, and I still have this emasa demachusa. Ki nafik va'azal amar. Amar lay. And then Barshishach is leaving Rava, and having been trumped in his argument, he says to Rava, Eina dabay lamech selechu bishusa tipaka. Any eye that looks to do bad to you should explode, should erupt. Wow. And it was a curse that he was giving to anybody, but it really was also a curse upon himself. Amalei Rava Amen. So Rava hears a bracha, it's a bracha. And Rava says Amen. Paka Eine de Barshishach, the eye of Barshishach exploded. Okay. Amara Papa Yibayla Lamemra. Now, I love this, by the way. You have like sideline reporting in the Gemara. Right? And right, even though Rava drew a great play, but nevertheless, Rav Papi says, you know, he should have quoted the following pasuk. Meaning, to the question of, are things going to be this good for you in Olam Haba? So Rav Papi says, you know, I would have liked it if Rava gave the following pasuk. Right? Everyone's a critic. So, Benos Malachim Bi Karusecha Itzava Shageli Minecha Bekesem Ofir. Pasuk in Tehillim giving us some sort of description, some understanding of what it's like, what it's going to be like in Olam Haba. Daughters of the king are going to be honoring you, Yikar Yikar Gedula. Nitzava Shageli Minecha, the queen is going to be standing to your right, Bekesem Ofir, wearing this type of jewelry. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Yibayla Lamemar Lamehacha. Abaye says, I'm sorry, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, no, I think he should accord the following pasuk. sideline reporting. Ayin lo rasa elokim zulascha yaseh lemechak alam. No eye will perceive what is in store for those who are mechak alam, for those who await HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay.
This concept of it's very surprising. You think that you are, that's not what we do. Mahabharata, it's something spiritual, you know.
Right.
He's buying into the 72 versions. We got 73.
Right. Right, no, emasa demachusa. Yeah. This little dialogue over here, I'm not equipped to discuss it. I know.
What's the source of the Rabbi Ben?
Shmuel says it. Shmuel says it consistently throughout the Gemara, and the Rambam passes like Shmuel. I mean, that's the short of it. But
so we assume Rava left the bathhouse very quickly when he walked in there.
I assume that'd be nice to assume that. Schar lasa siman malacha. That's what bothers Michael. That's right. He's right. Yeah. Schar lasa siman malacha acheres. Okay, let's go back to our Mishnah. Okay, in our Mishnah, we learned that if you're contracted to work with the Ayin Nesach, you first of all don't take the job, and if you take the job, you can't get paid, and if you get paid, scharo asa. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. We also learned in the Mishnah that if you have another job, which is basically another function, and you happen to work a little bit with the Ayin Nesach, So the Mishnah says Nishka Freilach. Now that's not what the Mishnah says, but you understand. The Mishnah says it's not an issue. Scharo Mutter. Scharo La'asosim Malach Acheres V'Afak Abdelal Amar Leili Suse Erev. Now, wait a second. The Gemara says I don't understand. If at one point during the day you worked with the Ayin Esek, how do we just wipe it off? Well, we just ignore it that you worked with the Ayin Esek. How does that work? And the Gemara says, and you didn't say Lisuse Erev. Now, the expression Lisuse Erev used here in the Gemara means like this. A day's job is a day job. When the day is over, your job is over. Then your employer says to you, you know what, could you do me a small favor? I know the day's over. I know the job is done. But can you just take that barrel and move it over there? Right? Now it's Yain Esach. You shouldn't have moved it. But the day's over. So your pay, your day's pay is not compromised by you taking one little barrel at right after hours, right? Uriminu, the Gemara says, and look at the brisa. Here the Gemara is going to quote a Tosefta. Hasochres apol yisuse erev amar lo haver chavish al yain esach b'makom amakom schara mutter. The Tosefta couldn't say it any clearer that if you work an honest day's work and over the course of the day you did legal activity, you didn't work with the Ayin Esach. And then, Lisuse Erev, and then when the day's over, and he says to you, look, take that Ayin Esach barrel, move it from here to here. And it's after hours, and it's overtime, and it will not compromise your day's pay. But, right, the Gemara is going to make a very simple diuk in the Tosefta. It's very clear. Time Adamar Le Lisuse Erev in Kulei Yom Alon. But it's clear from the Tosefta that if at one point over the course of the day you're taking Ayin Esach barrels, we can't just ignore that. So Amar Abayi ki tanan nami masnis and Amar Lisuse Erev tanan. So Abayi gives an answer. It's not a simple answer. Our Mishnah is talking about Lisuse Erev, even though our Mishnah did not utter a word about Lisuse Erev. But Abayi says, look, I would like the Mishnah and Tosefta to conform with one another. The Mishnah is also talking about Lisuse Erev. Okay.
There is so many. Mutter is the only discussion about the schar.
Schar.
Definitely
usher
to do.
No, you shouldn't. For sure, you shouldn't do it. No one is here. It's Yain Esach. You shouldn't.
So if he does,
shouldn't work with Yain Esach.
But if he does this,
it's about the schar.
Well, free can do.
Huh? But if he does this every day, if the employer does this every day.
All right, but if it's not, in other words, when the day's over, he can go home. So then this is considered after hours.
He's doing it every day, and it's part of his routine job then.
Right, yeah, right, okay. Rav Amar Lo Kasha, Hadar Malay Havalei Mea Chavis Be Mea Prutos, Hadar Malay Havalei Chavis Chavis Be Pruto. Okay, Rav says, no, let's not do that.
Okay.
Let's not say that our Mishnah is talking about Lisuse Erev, especially when our Mishnah doesn't say anything about Lisuse Erev. That's a huge chiddush, let's not do that. But rather what I'm going to do, says Rava, is I'm going to say that the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa is a question of how the employment was structured. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's going to make the difference. In the case of our Mishnah, mea chavios be mea prutos, right? In the case of the Mishnah, I'm sorry. In the case of the Tosefta, sorry. Let's go the other way around. In the case of the Tosefta, we're contracting the whole job. And here it is. You see those 100 barrels, you're going to move those 100 barrels, and you're going to move those 100 barrels, and I'll give you 100 prutos for moving those 100 barrels.
And there's one Yain Esach
in there. In the Mishnah, it is, I get paid for each transport. Right? I'm sorry. And Rashi says, usually Vahatanya means we're going to ask a question, not here. Vahatanya means Nechusa. It's interesting. The Gemara comes out, it's a very interesting conclusion, that if you're contracted per transport, per barrel, so then it's fine. Then you'll be okay. Because for every barrel that you transported, which is not Yain Esach, you'll get paid for that barrel. For that one barrel that you transported that's Yain Esach, you won't get paid for that one barrel. That's good. Think about it, however, in terms of the Tosefta. You got contracted for the whole job, transporting all 100 barrels. It's amazing. Think about this. It's very interesting. You one of the 100 barrels is a Yain Esach barrel, and you transported it. The Tosefta is telling us the entire Schar is Asar.
You can't just take out 1%.
Right? You could have argued, and the Rishonim who do this, you could have argued, okay, deduct that one, right?
Prorate
it. And deduct that one and just get paid for the remainder. The Rivet does make that argument.
Because he wasn't using
most Rishonim, the Rambam at the head, most Rishonim say no. Look, the Gemara is very clear. Schar Asar. The whole Schar is Asar. And the Hezbra behind it, he talks about it over there, Rabbi Dickstein talks about it, and the Hezbra behind it is, look, because when you get paid for an entire job, your payment is going to be contingent on doing the entire job. So if you don't do one, so you didn't fulfill your contractual obligation. So that one Yain Esach Bar that you failed to bring, you can't just simply say, oh, okay, fine, let's deduct that. No, the way the employment contract was formed, all or nothing. So therefore, one barrel is a Yain Esach Barrel, and you shouldn't have transported it, and you did, so not only can you not get paid for that, you don't get paid for the whole thing as well. Okay? It's very interesting.
Even though it's less than 1/60.
Right. Again, that's an argument you could have made. Right? Ben made it, the Riven makes it. You can make that argument, but the Pashto says no, it doesn't work.
It's less than 1/60.
Okay. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the two dots.